This is Pastor Ethan Moore of Trinity Church in the Vail Valley of Colorado. Thank you for listening to this message. If you'd like more information about our past and upcoming messages, or to learn more about who we are as a church, I invite you to visit our website at www.trinityvail.com. Likewise, if God might put it on your heart to support our ministry here in the Vail Valley, you can visit the support page on our website. Again, thanks so much for listening to this message, and I do pray that it bears fruit in your life.
Today's message is from Pastor Matthew Wyatt, the student and missions pastor at Trinity Church. It's titled, Following Jesus. This message is given on Sunday, May 13th, right here in our chapel in Edwards, Colorado. We have been talking about the resurrection for the last few weeks and all of the benefits that brings. The resurrection of Christ, what that does for us, how that changes our life, how it changes our world, really. New life, the coming of the Holy Spirit, a chance to be renewed and restored as a person, become one with Christ, new creation, all this stuff. And enjoying the benefits of what the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus into heaven has done. We got to have a loving, personal relationship with Jesus. I mean, if that's going to become real to us, we got to have a loving, personal relationship with Jesus. And if you've got a Bible, go ahead and grab it, or we've got the table in the back, pens. So I'm going to take us to Luke chapter 5, and we're just going to look at some of those characteristics and habits of following Jesus. What it means to follow Jesus. What it means to have that relationship, that loving relationship of new life in Jesus Christ. So grab that, turn to Luke chapter 5. I've got one of the Bibles back there too. Page 835, if you happen to have that. This Bible. And just a little background in Luke. Luke is probably one of my favorite writers in the New Testament. He's a physician, journalist, historian, Christian ministry, world traveler. And if any of you guys enjoy reading, he's like the Sebastian Younger of kind of the day. He's writing. He's about all these things that he's seen and he's heard. He's interviewing witnesses, people who have been with Jesus, and he's probably one of Paul's best friends. So he's been with Paul since Acts chapter 16, and all the way through to his imprisonment in Rome, the end of the book of Acts. Luke is also mentioned in Colossians, if you want to write these down, Colossians 4:14. He's mentioned in 2 Timothy 4:11, Philemon 1:24. So it's a little bit of how we know about him. He probably collected and traveled with Paul somewhere around 49 to 62 AD. 49 to 62 AD. Real person. Traveling the globe in real places. And that's probably what he did. And right now, chapter 5, let me set the stage. Jesus has come on the scene. He's been baptized by John. God has come in the form of the Spirit, blessed him, given him his blessing. Jesus has started his ministry. And it's just by himself right now. He's been to his hometown in Nazareth. And he's kind of set up his new hometown. He got kicked out of there. He's in a town called Capernaum. And Capernaum is right off the Sea of Galilee. So I got a picture here for you. Jay's got it. So this northern part of the Sea of Galilee, which Luke refers to as Gennesaret, is this northern part of the Lake of Galilee, very fertile area. Capernaum was probably a fairly large town. Fishing industry was very big here. There was also a main road that went along during that time. And so it was kind of a trade route. So there's a lot of people in this area. And this is where Jesus is. This is where he's been teaching and healing people. There's always a crowd around Jesus right now. I mean, if there were news outlets, they would probably be following him around with a camera and tweeting about him and everything, because he was the man at this point in time. I mean, could you imagine just someone around our valley who you would hear about just healing things and healing people, and the way that he would talk and teach to you would just blow your mind. Just the way that he would explain the Word of God to people, they'd never heard this before. I mean, it's the God himself teaching about himself and these scriptures that these people have grown up with all their lives. So here we are, Luke. I'm going to set the stage. Go to the end of chapter 4, verse 42. And as I said, Jesus has been hanging around this town for a while now. A lot of people know him. And verse 42, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. So he's kind of done with the people right now. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And so this is kind of like that scene, one of those scenes in a movie, where that movie's happening, and when you get to the end, you're like, oh yeah, that's why that thing happened. And that happens to me in the Marvel movies a lot. Like, it all kind of makes sense once you get to the end. And what we're going into next, we're learning about the first people that actually start following Jesus. So that's one of those scenes. Jesus gives his purpose. I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. That is why I've been sent. And this is the second time that he's declared his purpose so far in this chapter. The first time was in Nazareth, his hometown. They tried to kill him, kicked him out. So now he's in Capernaum. And this is very important. So what's going to happen next? So play this in your mind. We're going to chapter 5. Kind of make this movie in your mind as we're reading it. Verse 1. One day, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, right here, somewhere along that shoreline. The people were crowding around him, listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Now, again, Jesus has been in town for a while. People have been amazed by what they've seen him do, what they've heard. And there was just always a crowd of people around him. And Jesus purposely takes, as he's walking down by the seashore, he's purposely going to where Peter is. Now that we know from the other accounts in the gospel, the other gospels, that Peter's there with Andrew, his brother, James and John. So they're a little business here. They've got their boats up on the shore. They're washing their nets. And there's no radio back then. Jesus is purposely coming over next to them, give them a little podcast, you know, as they work. He's their radio as they work. So he's teaching this crowd of people. And these guys are kind of forced to listen. Just kind of how I think of it. And it's no coincidence, though, that he always went. And just to point this out, too, there's always people, all these people are pressing around. They're listening to the Word of God. And I think Jesus, just like this, how this scene starts out, Jesus is always putting himself into a position in our lives for us to hear him. He's always doing this. Jesus is always and will always put himself in a position in your life so you can hear him. And that's our first point. How do we follow Jesus? What are some of these characteristics? We hear the Word of God. We hear the Word of God. So let me ask you, how are you putting yourself in a position to hear the words of God? What are the things that you're doing to be with Jesus, to listen to him, to press into him? What are those things that you're doing to hear the word of God? Is Jesus just a distant person that you don't really relate to too often? But do you really hunger to hear him, to be in his word, to be around him, to be in his presence? So all these crowds are pressing in to listen. Jesus is preaching from this boat, and these people are captivated by what's going on right now. Are you still captivated by the words of God? So how do we follow Jesus? We hear the words of God. Next, go to verse 4. Verse 4, and when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water. Let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Now that is amazing. This is an amazing miracle. And it's kind of funny because you have a professional carpenter telling professional fishermen where and how to fish. So this would be like me like telling Tyler how to go fish and what kind of fly he needs to use and where he's going to catch him. All right? It's just, I'm not going to do that. it's not going to work very well. But Jesus, there's something different about him. Peter knew. He'd been introduced to him by Andrew, his brother. He's seen him around town. He's heard him before. And he knew that there was something different about Jesus. He knew he could trust him. He could command that kind of respect. And let me show you this word. Look again at this word. He calls him Master. It's verse 5. Simon answered, "Master." So he says, "My Lord, my leader." It's a person of high authority, great skill, high regard. And this term, master, is used only in the book of Luke. And it's used only by those who follow Jesus. It's a very important term in this gospel. The master. Luke purposely points out the fact that Jesus is a master. He's somebody different. And Peter recognizes this. And he sees it. And he's gonna agree. This was a neat quote he said that I heard studying this. Peter may not have agreed with Jesus, but he could obey him. He may not have agreed with Jesus right away, but he could definitely obey him, and he did. And I think that's true for us too. We may not agree with some of the things, but the more we learn, the more we are in the presence of God, we're gonna want to obey him. And that's our second point. How do we follow Jesus? We obey the Word of God. We obey the Word of God. So we hear the Word of God, we obey it. Is Jesus the main authority in your life, or are you still running the show? Are you hearing the words of God and submitting to them? Are you letting them change you? Are the things Jesus wants you to do that you're not doing, but you know you should, or maybe ignoring them? Obey the Word of God. Let me put it this way. How does your everyday lifestyle reflect the fact that Jesus is your master? How does your lifestyle reflect that? Sometimes obedience does seem crazy. Like, really? Like, you want me to spend time dealing with this person right now? Lord, like, it can seem crazy. And sometimes it is just a matter of doing or not doing. And I get that a lot. Like, Matt, you really should apologize to your wife right now for the way you acted. But yeah, sometimes it is. It's just a matter of doing or not doing. And Luke, his whole follow-up book to this gospel, the book of Acts, is that. It's obedience. What does life look like when you obey God? That's the whole book of Acts. It's a 28-chapter mini-series that I highly suggest you binge on because it's about following the Word of God, obeying it. And Luke this is a key theme in his whole gospel. So how do we follow Jesus? We hear the Word of God, we obey it. And let's keep going, there's more. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. So this reaction here, doesn't that seem a little odd to you? Like, Jesus, I've just caught more fish in the last 2 minutes than I have in this whole week. And it's so incredible. And what is he saying? He's saying, "Oh, get away from me. I am a sinful man." And this reaction is because Peter realizes that he is standing in a boat knee-deep in slimy lake fish with the God of the universe. This miracle literally opens his eyes, it opens his heart to the fact that he is in the presence of God. The God of Israel, the creator of the universe who made the sea and everything in it. The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David. He is in the presence of God. And when he is confronted with that in his mind, he says, "Get away from me. I'm a sinner." He knows who he is. He's realized who he is in the face of God. Up until this point, many people have heard God. They've been around him. They've pressed in. They've been amazed at his teaching. But Peter is the first one who actually has this kind of reaction to Jesus. The first one. He's the only one at this point who's experienced the life change. So how? That's our next point, number three. How do we follow Jesus? We turn. We turn from our sin. Following Jesus is obeying, it's hearing, and it's turning from our sin. And that's confession. Confession is worship. There is worship. There's great worship and glory in God and confession. That's part of the worship experience. That's part of encountering God. And it should be a natural reaction for us that when we encounter God, we should also be confessing our sin. Let me read this to you. This is from Isaiah chapter 6. And Isaiah is a prophet in Israel, called by God. He's given a mission to teach people about God who don't want to hear about God. So he's got a very tough job. This is Isaiah chapter 6. And in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne. The train of his robe filled the temple, and above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew over to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your mouth. Your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." It's a natural reaction coming into the presence of God to realize that we are nothing before the Almighty God. Confession is praise to Him. It's praise to Him. So how do we follow Jesus? We hear the Word of God. We obey. We turn from our sin. And going back, this is the last verse. Verse 10 in Luke. We get to see what Jesus does here. He said, "Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people.' So they pulled their boats up on the shore. They left everything and followed him." Jesus affirms Peter. He affirms him. He doesn't kick him out. "Yes, Peter, you're very sinful. Get out of my presence." No, God is so gracious. He's so gracious to Peter. He accepts him. Yes, Peter is worshiping Jesus in this confession. And Jesus takes that worship and he affirms Peter. Not only does he affirm him, he gives him a new calling. He gives him a new purpose in his life. He's not just a fisherman, but he's a fisher of men now. Peter has a new purpose as a follower of Christ. He has a new purpose. He has a new identity. He has a new perspective on his life. And as a Christian, you too, you have that purpose. You have a new mission and a purpose and a calling in your life as a Christ follower. You are on the very mission of Jesus. This is it. This is back to what Jesus says right before this happened. I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. That's the purpose of Jesus has. That's the purpose Jesus gives to Peter, the disciples, and that's the purpose he gives to us. As Christ followers, we are on that mission. We are on the purpose of God. It's our job. You're not just a real estate agent. You're not just a teacher. You're not a salesperson. You're not a cook. You are an agent of God in this world who happens to be and do those things. You're on God's mission to save people from sin and death and to give them new life and new hope. And that's our last point there. How do we follow Jesus? We follow on the mission of God. Don't wander aimlessly in life, but follow God's mission. Love God. Grow in your relationship with Him. Conform to Him, His image. Join in His mission. We hear His word. We obey His word. We turn from our sin, and we follow the mission of God without holding back. That's what we do as followers of Christ. That's it. That's it. And just as a time, I want to go back through this. It says a time of prayer for you guys. If you want to write something down at this point, or just silently to yourself, or maybe with someone else, I just want to enter into a time of prayer right now and kind of go back through these points. And I want you to think about them just for you personally, maybe with someone else. But let's think about this. Let me start this. Let's just come into the presence of God. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we get to enter your presence anytime we want. Jesus, we are sinful and lost people without you. Thank you for your death, your resurrection. Thank you that you've brought us to you. Jesus, I pray right now that you would help us hear your word. So think about that as you pray. How are you putting yourself in a position to hear the words of God? What are some things that you may need to do? How can you listen to God? I even want to pray right now just for a hunger to hear the words of God. Along with hearing, ask Jesus to help you obey His words that you hear. May you obey it. How can Jesus be the authority of your life? How can you hear the words of God and start doing them? How can God's words start changing you? Is there anything that you've been neglecting to do, to obey, to follow? Oh, Jesus, help us to hear you. Help us to obey you, Lord. In everything, help us to turn. How do you need to turn from your sin? Is there any sin that you need to confess? Any sin you need to confess to someone else right now? Write that down. Just ask God to forgive you, to help you, give you the strength to do that. Is the Holy Spirit convicting you in some way? And on that last point, how can you follow in God's mission? What are the things that you know you need to change, that you know you need to start doing? How can you have an identity in Christ above all else? Doesn't matter what you do, but how can your identity be in Christ? How can you follow on the mission of God? How can you leave everything and follow Jesus? Now let's do this again. Let's think of our church. Let's think of those around you. Man, Lord, how can we hear your word as a church, as a body of believers in this valley? How can we hear and obey what you're doing? Jesus, show us what we need to do. Help us to have the courage and the strength to follow it. Turn people from their sin right where we live, in our offices, the sports teams. Help us to be your presence. Help us to speak your words. Help us to obey and turn. And help us to follow you. No holding back. Help us to follow you with a purpose and a desire that we would pursue anything else. Help us to follow you wholeheartedly, Lord. Forgive us for not, but give us the strength to do so. We will lay down ourselves and truly worship and follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.